Greetings, friends. My name's Brad DiDonato. I am with Touch by Him Ministries. Welcome to today's broadcast. Yeah, let's let the Lord be lifted up. Let Him be exalted on high. He is a good God. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Blessed be His holy name, now and forevermore. Welcome to the broadcast. Again, my name is Brad DiDonato. You can find out about our ministry, tbhm.org, tbhm.org, or you can try touchedbyhim.org, touchedbyhim.org. In either case, either link will take you to our website there to find out more information. If you go to our website, how do you contact us here at the ministry? You can do so in one of several ways. We've got the mailing address there, Touched by Him Ministries, P.O. Box 2247, Grand Junction, Colorado 81502. Again, that's Touched by Him Ministries, P.O. Box 2247, Grand Junction, Colorado 81502. If you find this broadcast or our blessing to you, and you are tuning in regularly, listening to them either over the radio or over the internet from our website, you can support us financially. Just make that address out on your checks to Touched by Him Ministries and go to P.O. Box 2247 Grand Junction, Colorado 81502. Mail that to us there, and we will use that to your blessing. God will reward you, you know. Give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. And when you give into His kingdom's work, you know that He's going to measure it back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. People want to know what's up with you. You know that you'll be able to tell them, prosperity follows me, God blesses me, the peace that transcends all understanding is upon you, even in this time of great tumult. So anyway, on the at the homepage, that's our mailing address. You can call us if you want to leave a message, or call us and reach us by phone, 970-314-4077. If you get voicemail, leave your message. If you don't leave a message, we're not going to call you back. So if you leave the message and how we can get back in contact with you, we will. Also, you can email us. That's a very effective way of getting a hold of us. Pray with me at TBHM. Pray with me at TBHM.org. That's tell us what's going on. You know, send in your prayer requests. God is on the move. If you got questions, send us in your questions. You know, you can still believe on God for your health and your healing, because He is Christ the healer. He prayed for you. You know, I was going to open up with that scripture, and I'm going to take a deeper dive into it with Isaiah 53 verses 3 and 5. You know, going forward, as the light shines in the darkness, it's still continuing to shine, people. But the darkness simply doesn't have the ability to overcome it, to take it down, to subdue it, or dominate it. And you know, it in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, the Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word of God, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness simply doesn't have the ability to comprehend it, to overcome it, to subdue it, to dominate it. And to put it plainly, people, his truth is marching on. The great shaking that's going on is being done by the Lord God Almighty himself. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken is all that will remain. And you can take peace in that in this time of great tumult. Stay in the light. You know, last week's message, stay in the light as he is in the light. And you do that by doing, being, you know, studying his word, putting it first place in your life, going forward every day in it. You know, don't learn to lean upon him, not your own understanding. Don't let necessarily experience be your dictation to how you're going to be act this day and going forward. We walk by faith and not by sight. Learn how to call things that aren't as though they are. Believe that you will receive them and you will have what you say. You know, if you have anything against anybody, forgive them. Go forward in the forgiveness of that so that your Father God in heaven will also be able to forgive you. And then live the life. You know, God's a good God. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Another one of those things that we have out on our website is a page called Related Links. You can go to our website on the home page, look down the list there, you'll find an option for a page called Related Links. And on that is that God of Abundance CD, that song that we open and close with every broadcast, is put out by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, put out more than two decades ago now. And you should listen to it. It's based on God's word, so it's eternal. It'll continuously feed your spirit. It never gets old. And one of the powers of music that you got to be careful about is that it will allow you to feed your spirit, bypass your mind, and feed your spirit, even while you're working and focused with concentration on something in the foreground. So that's the blessing of music, but it's also the curse of music. You got to watch what you're listening to at any given time, and Satan himself has his hand in music, so you got to be careful about it. You always want anointed music based on God's word that'll feed your spirit, man, that will lift you up, and that God of Abundance CD will do just that. You can go there, you can download it, go straight into the pockets of the creators of that album, God of Abundance digital album, download the music album there yourself. You can download it and have it within a few minutes of listening to this broadcast and going to that website, or from our webpage, you can get there instantly, download it, and then be listening to it and feed it to yourself daily. I've been listening to that particular CD for decades now, and all I can say is that it never gets old because it's eternal. God's word is eternal. It is forever pregnant. You're never going to know about it. You're going to rule and reign with him, believer. So get into the word and study it for yourself. You don't need all these other books necessarily to help you while you're studying God's word. The Holy Spirit, if you say a prayer before you start every session as you read the word of God, the Holy Spirit will come in and do his part. Ask him to come in. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And if you study the Bible and can just continue reading it, don't get stuck on a particular meaning or passage. If you want, look up a word. Go to the Webster Merriam dictionary online and get the meaning of the word if you get stuck on a word. But you know, just go forward, keep reading it, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you, and he will. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. The Bible will interpret itself, and if you stay with it and you have a reference version edition, as you're reading through the words, you know, as I go along and do my daily readings, I'll see a reading in the center column that'll all of a sudden, Jesus will be talking in red letters in my particular version of the Bible, and all of a sudden I'll see a reference over to Psalm 22 verse 27, which he's talking about. So as you study it and you go and look at those references, you will be fed and be learned and be educated, and that's what the Holy Spirit really does. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He helped write the Bible. He used all the men and women of the Bible who authored it, who penned it out, and wrote these things, or told the stories of what goes on in the Bible. And I'll tell you, he knows it cold. He can teach you, lead you, and guide you into all truth. And every day and every week, after the end of every service that I ever do, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come before you and go before you during the coming weeks, months, and years to lead you and guide you into all truth. And God's word is the truth. You know, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. So anyway, You know, stay with that, and you can go to our website and check out other pages. Another important one is that media page. We only rent 30 minutes of airtime. If you're listening to us over the radio right now, go to the website, tbhm.org, and then go to the media page, and there you'll see the radio broadcast of this week will be 10/26/2025. And you can listen to it again. You know, it's best to listen to the Word of God. Whenever I get a message that's good, I'll listen to it 2, 3, 4 times to really get it down into my spirit. And, you know, eventually it'll fill up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you keep God's Word coming in your eyes and coming in your ears, and as you read it to yourself, read it out loud enough so your own ears can hear it, it's coming out your mouth, back into your ears, and back in through your eyes as you're reading it. Eventually, out of the abundance of your heart, God's Word will spill out over into your circumstances, and you'll talk His Word into your circumstances. His Word will go before you. It will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Another thing I intend to do is go over the laws of prosperity here on the broadcast coming up. God does have laws of prosperity that govern the world. The earth and all that is in it is the Lord's, all the silver, all the gold, the cattle of 1,000 hills. And as you learn to operate and move in those laws, His Word will go to work for you, and you will be prosperous, not just spiritually, where when you die, or if you're raptured out of here, you're translated immediately out of the kingdom, or you're immediately go into the kingdom of heaven at that point in time spiritually to be so ever with Him forever from that point going forward. So spiritually it's good, but physically it's good. You know, by His stripes you are healed, and He paid a price for you. And also know that it's mental as well as physical, your healing. He is the peace that transcends all understanding. He is shalom. He is complete and total soundness in every area of your life. So it's physical, it's spiritual, it's physical, it's mental, it's social, and it's financial. God will make the way for you, people, where there is no way. You don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. So anyway, on the media page, you can go there and hear the fullness of this broadcast, which I'm not going to be able to cover all in the 30 minutes of airtime that we have this week. So anyway, get familiar with our website, tbhm.org. Anyway, so I wanted to take a deeper look today at the scripture that Isaiah 53 and 3-5 took care of. Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied the suffering that Christ would endure and the purpose for it. In Isaiah 53, verses 3-5, Isaiah wrote, this is out of the King James Version, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I'm telling you, Christian, sickness and disease has no part in your life. You have the authority of believers. All authority has been given unto God, both in heaven and in earth, and He has turned around and given it to you as a believer, one who has invited Christ into your life, has believed in his heart and confessed Jesus as Lord with your mouth, has been drawn into the kingdom of God. He has turned around and given you the same authority that He purchased for you at the cross, and you can put that authority to work for your benefit as well as for others as you go forth proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Anointed One. Throughout the Old Testament, no prophecy about Christ's suffering and eventual glorification is as clear as what Isaiah presented in these verses. And I'm talking specifically here about the ones I just read out of Isaiah 53, verses 3-5. And here's what it says, the word despised, because the word he was despised by men. The Lord was despised. The word despised originates from a Hebrew word frequently encountered in the Old Testament that paints a picture of disdain and scorn. The gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John vividly illustrate what Jesus was subjected to in extreme derision by religious authorities, guards, soldiers, political figures alike. Various translations of the word despised include despise, disdain, de-esteemed, held in contempt, or scorn. And in the span of his 3-year public ministry, Jesus was despised and treated with non-stop contempt by the religious leaders of his day. Their verbal onslaughts and relentless attempts to undermine him were unyielding. But their contempt of him reached its zenith on the night he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and upon his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was taken to the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, and it was there that he faced the brutal hostility of Israel's most revered religious figures. Behind closed doors, these leaders descended upon him like a brood of vipers, unleashing their fury with words of venom, spitting in contempt, and inflicting physical blows upon him. So following his interrogation by Pilate and Herod Antipas, Jesus then endured unspeakable cruelty at the hands of the Roman soldiers. They mocked and cursed him, striking his face with a reed plucked from Pilate's courtyard fountain. In their brutality, they yanked the beard from his chin and crafted a painful crown from razor-sharp vines and forced it onto his head. As if this torment was not enough, he was led to a whipping post where two merciless scourgers used their savage instruments to rend his body with each vicious lash. And ultimately, Jesus' hands and feet were pierced with nails that secured him to the cross. That they used to crucify him. And these acts of brutality were the bitter fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53:3, that he would be despised and shunned by the very people he came to save. And Isaiah also prophesied that Christ would be rejected of men. The word rejected can also be translated abandoned or forsaken, and it captures the image of one isolated, shunned by society, and avoided by those around him. Despite the moments when Jesus drew crowds, his loyal followers were consistently just a little flock. And of that little flock, we are told in John 6:66 that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. There were others who believed on him, but would only come to him by night, as was the case with Nicodemus in John 3:2. And John 7:48 implies that other rulers and great men may have believed on him, yet stood aloof from him, according to Matthew 26:56, eventually even his own disciples forsook him and fled. Thus we see the complete accuracy of Isaiah's prophecy. So in Isaiah 53:3, the prophet continued to say that Jesus would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the word sorrow is very important to us to understand. It's translated from a Hebrew word that is rich with meanings of physical torment, deep anguish, acute pain, and profound suffering. It's derived from the root word that means to grieve or to be in pain. It's similar to the Greek word that depicts scourge that was used by Roman soldiers to torturously rip open the human body and shred it to pieces. Furthermore, the word sorrows that Isaiah used in his verse also encompasses both emotional and physical torment. Here, Isaiah prophesied the violent nature with which Christ would be treated. Isaiah went on to describe Christ as being intimately acquainted with grief. The Hebrew word that is translated acquainted means to be acquainted or to know by intimate personal experience and personal knowledge. The Hebrew word that is translated grief undeniably refers to physical and mental afflictions of the body and mind, diseases, illness, and sicknesses. While some might attempt to spiritualize this into a metaphorical spiritual illness, the Hebrew word incontestably points to the tangible physical and mental suffering. The use of this word grief underscores that Christ personally experienced and tasted physical and mental disease, illness, and sickness in his redemptive work on the cross. Then in Isaiah 53:3, Isaiah added that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. The word hid depicts such a deep aversion to everything that one cannot bear to look upon it. What Christ endured was so ghastly that when these events occurred, those who were close enough to see them turned their heads to conceal from their sight the horrible rending and tearing of Christ's flesh at his scourging and crucifixion. It was too much for human sight to bear, and Isaiah's prophecy thus was fulfilled. In Isaiah's words, it reads that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. You know, and you just can imagine if you saw Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, you can identify with it. So many people in the cinemas, they turned away when they saw the brutality that Christ experienced on the way to the cross. And, you got to think about that. Isaiah 52:14, when Isaiah prophesied just how torn Christ's body would be in his redemptive work for us, in that verse, Isaiah said, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." The word visage in Hebrew describes Christ's visible appearance as a result of the harrowing ordeals he endured. The Hebrew word translated marred means that as a result of his scourging and crucifixion, Christ's human body was in a state of complete disfigurement. The words "more than any man" let us know that his condition was unparalleled, surpassing any suffering endured by any human throughout history. Isaiah 53:3 continues to say that he was despised and we esteemed him not. Here the word despised again emphasizes that despite the fact that he endured such profound anguish for our sake, humanity as a collective scorned his sacrifice and looked upon it with disdain, even though he endured all this for each of us. Humankind looked upon his sacrifice with contempt and despised it. In fact, Isaiah says that we esteemed him not. The word esteemed in Hebrew means to appreciate, consider, esteem, or value. The phrase "esteemed him not" conveys a complete lack of recognition. The word not in Hebrew is emphatic, which means that as a whole, we emphatically did not esteem that which he was doing for us on the cross. This prophecy foresaw that the gravity of Christ's sacrifice would be lost on those who bore witness. And in essence, this prophecy foretold that at the time of Christ's sacrificial death, those who witnessed it would not appreciate it, considering what it really meant, esteem what he was doing, or value what was happening. It brings to mind the soldiers who callously watched him die on the cross while they cast lots for his garments, or the religious leaders who looked upon him and spoke blasphemous words against him, or the thief who verbally abused him even as Christ was paying the price for him and all others to be redeemed. Those present during Christ's sufferings failed to grasp the monumental act unfolding before them, and neither appreciating, considering, nor valuing the priceless gift of salvation. So to summarize Isaiah 53:3, it declares that his sacrifice for us, Christ, was despised with great and treated with contempt. Christ was wholesale abandoned and rejected of men. Christ endured physical torment, deep anguish, acute pain, and profound suffering. Christ was shunned by humankind, who turned their faces to avoid looking upon him, upon his suffering. Christ did it all for each of us, even though he was despised for it. Christ was not appreciated, esteemed, or valued for what he was enduring for each of us. But then Isaiah 53:4 adds, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." In Hebrew, the word "surely" is imbued with a profound sense of certainty, and it could be rendered categorically, definitely, emphatically, indeed, truly, or verily. This is an emphatic word, and it means Isaiah was making an ardent declaration. He was elevating his tone to hammer home an unquestionable statement. The word "surely" means that categorically, definitely, emphatically, indeed, truly, or verily, he has borne our griefs. By choosing this potent word, Isaiah speaks of what is absolutely certain, indisputably and undeniably true, and completely unquestionable. Then Isaiah adds that Christ has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In Hebrew, the word "born" evokes an image of one who lifts a weight from another's shoulders and chooses to bear it upon himself. In context, what Jesus lifted from us, took upon himself, is explained by the words "our griefs." This word "griefs" in the original Hebrew specifically denotes physical and mental afflictions of the body and mind, physical and mental disease, illness, and sicknesses. Though some may argue for a metaphorical interpretation and suggest these terms refer to spiritual weakness, the original Hebrew text does not support such a reading. An honest analysis of the text reveals that Christ, in addition to purchasing forgiveness of sin, freedom from guilt and shame, and peace of mind, also lifted physical and mental disease, illness, sickness from us, and he took them upon himself on the cross. If we stopped here, the original text would have already gloriously told us it is absolutely certain, indisputably, undeniably true, and unquestionable that he has personally lifted all physical and mental diseases, illness, and sickness from us, taken them upon himself. And Isaiah eloquently reveals that Jesus carried or shouldered the immense load of our sorrows. The Hebrew word translated "carried" could be rendered as "shouldered," and it implies an act of bearing something tremendously heavy or lifting a significant burden. The burden Christ carried and shouldered for us was our sorrows. The word "sorrows" is interpreted from a Hebrew word that depicts physical and mental anguish and pains. The precise choice of these words powerfully underscores that through his redemptive act, Christ lifted from us and absorbed into himself our physical and mental diseases, illnesses, or sicknesses. He lifted them from us and took them upon himself at the cross on our behalf. Pausing here to reflect on what all this means, the text could be rendered, it is absolutely certain, indisputably, undeniably true, and unquestionable that he has personally lifted all physical and mental diseases, illness, and sickness from us. He has taken upon himself absolutely all physical and mental anguish and pain. So Isaiah 53:4 continues to say that we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In Hebrew, the word "stricken" conveys the notion of having someone or something subjected to a brutal, harsh, and forceful hand. In the Old Testament, this word is often used to describe a moment when a person or people is visited with severity. The visited severity manifests as physical disease, sickness, illness, Meanwhile, its counterpart, Smitten, portrays the actions of someone who physically lays his hands on someone or something to afflict or severely beat or strike it with the intention to destroy. Notably, this same word is also used militarily to describe a ferocious attack on an adversary during warfare with utter obliteration as the goal. Then on top of these already intense words, Isaiah adds that Christ will be afflicted, which in Hebrew means to be utterly crushed. So adding all of these things, or all these meanings to this verse, we find that Isaiah 53:4 could read as follows. It's absolutely certain, indisputably, undeniably true, and unquestionable that he has personally lifted all physical and mental diseases, illnesses, and sicknesses from us. He has taken upon himself absolutely all physical and mental anguish and pain as God's forceful hand of judgment came upon him. God struck the enemy with the intention to completely destroy him, and God did it with such force that it was completely and utterly crushed. When all this occurred, God was unleashing a mighty blow against the sin and physical and mental disease, illness, and sickness that Christ had willingly absorbed into his being. God was waging a war against everything Christ took upon himself, sin, guilt, shame, lack of peace, and every ailment, disease, illness, sickness, and torment, both physical and mental. There were age-old enemies that had been unleashed upon the world from the moment of Adam's transgression, and that had haunted humanity ever since. Yet at the cross, God launched an attack that was aimed at eradicating them, and he delivered a decisive and fatal strike against them. Isaiah 53:5 summarizes this: but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In the Hebrew, the word wounded conveys a sense of being pierced or deeply wounded, foreshadowing with remarkable clarity the future piercing of Jesus' hands, feet, side, and brow. Remarkably, Isaiah captured this vision of Christ's suffering with prophetic precision 7 centuries before the event unfolded. The Hebrew concept of transgressions refers to violations of God's commandments and God's nature, including sin, rebellion, and turning against God, all of which are a reflection of humanity's flawed nature that was inherited from Adam's initial transgressions. Isaiah foretold that Christ would be physically pierced and would be physically and would bear physical wounds, shedding his blood to pay the ultimate price for our sins and acts of rebellion. The payment of blood was required for Christ to redeem us from Satan's slave market and to restore us to God's original intent for our lives. Then Isaiah says this: he, Jesus, was bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53:5. The word was bruised are a translation of a Hebrew word meaning to beat to pieces, to crush, or to destroy. This highlights the profound suffering Christ endured on behalf of others and emphasizes themes of substitutionary atonement and redemption. Meanwhile, the word iniquity stems from a Hebrew word that encompasses a range of human failings, including guilt, moral lapses, depravity, perversity, and shame. This passage reveals that Christ's sacrifice went beyond just covering our sins. He obliterated our iniquities. This includes not just our moral failures, but also the guilt and shame attached to them. Through his redemptive act on the cross, Christ obliterated these burdens entirely, offering freedom from guilt, moral failings, all forms of perversity, and the heavy cloak of shame that once ensnared us. Thus, Christ's redemptive work on the cross includes the complete removal of all these, and he intends for you to be freed from all associated shame that once hounded you because of past iniquities in your life. Isaiah 53:5 states, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." The word chastisement is from the Hebrew word that pictures punishment for past activities. This illustrates the profound truth that at the cross, Christ bore the penalty we deserved and paved the way for us to attain peace. This peace, deeply rooted in the Hebrew word, Hebrew concept of shalom, a word that signifies not just tranquility, but an all-encompassing state of wholeness and completeness in every part of a person's life. This term encompasses happiness, health, prosperity, safety, security, and soundness of mind. It paints a vivid picture of a life that is abundantly blessed, that is flourishing in every dimension. Thus, when Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, he was not only bearing our burdens, but also securing our holistic well-being and ensuring that we could experience a profound peace of mind, that we would thrive in every aspect of our lives. Then Isaiah 53:5 adds, "And with his stripes we are healed." The word stripes finds its origins in a Hebrew word that pictures bruises, welts, and the dark blue marks left by severe whipping. This is a reference to the scourging that Christ endured to obtain our freedom from all forms of physical and mental disease, illness, and sickness. By understanding the meaning of the Hebrew word rapha, which is rendered healed in this verse, it's clear that Christ's redemptive act brought about not only the forgiveness of sins, liberation from shame, and mental peace, but also physical and mental healing from all manners of ailments. Christ's work on the cross provided for the comprehensive restoration of every facet of our existence, spiritual, physical, and mental. Combining all these Hebrew word meanings in this verse, Isaiah 53 verse 5 carries the meaning, "But he was pierced and deeply wounded for our transgressions," that is, our violation of God's commandments and God's nature, including sin, rebellion, and turning against God. "He was beaten, crushed, and destroyed for the removal of our iniquities," that is, our guilt, moral lapses, depravity, perversity, and shame. The punishment we deserved for our past activities was laid on him, and we have been given peace in its place, not just tranquility, but an all-encompassing state of wholeness and completeness in every part of our lives, so that we can peacefully thrive. And due to the massive full body bruises, welts, stripes that were laid upon him by a severe lashing of the whip, we are healed from all manner of physical and mental disease, illness, and sickness. So, do you see how vital it is that we understand Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 5? Having unraveled its profound messages, we are now poised to embark on what we're going to talk about in future messages and understand this. By his stripes you are healed. There is nothing that you are up against, Christian, right here and right now. I don't care how impossible it looks. I don't care what medical science has said to you, who's rejected you. The last people to usually bail on you is medical science, because they don't have a solution for you. Plus, they don't have any more monies to continue on treating you in the way that which they have, and they take their hopes away. But in Christ, all things are possible, and by his stripes, you are healed. And do not think that the outcome of the sickness or disease that's got you burdened down right now, listener, has no solution. Christ is the solution. By his stripes, you are healed, and you are healed now and going forward. Receive the message. Receive your healing. Blessed be his holy name now and forevermore. Okay, we're going to have to stop the broadcast there, and it's time to take up an offering. The man who walks with God always gets to his destination. Trusting God with your money opens the doorways to the room for the blessing to be poured out into. And the key to financial blessing for you is in your giving, a first fruits offering of all your increase. So if this ministry has been a blessing in your life, then sow your financial seed into it. We constantly have opportunity to expand our ministry outreach, and your seed sown will help us do just that. And if you've been listening to this broadcast on a regular basis and you use the ministry broadcast as your church, you know, then you should be tithing into it as well. And a tithe is a tenth of all your increase. Everybody always has a tithe, and that's the poorest of the poor. If you have a dime in your pocket, you can tithe the penny. If you have a dollar, you can tithe a dime. If you have $100, you can tithe $10. If you have $100 million, you can tithe $10 million, and you're meeting God's requirement, you know. And in that process, you're setting yourself up for success, because God told us in Malachi 3 in chapter verse 10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts." So you'll always get your harvest when its fullness of ripeness has been reached. So God will get it back to you, as Jesus said, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." And we're living in the time of Amos 9 and 13 now, where it says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." We are at the point where the harvest comes before we even let the seed go from our hands. If you can believe God for that, you will see it happen. All right, now that the offering is done, let me declare the blessing over you. Raise your right hand up and receive the blessing right now. Lord, bless your people and keep them. Make your face shine upon them, Lord, and be gracious unto them this week. Lift up your countenance upon your people, Lord, and give them peace. And put your name upon your children, Lord, and bless them as you said you would, as they go forth this week with the victory that's in Christ Jesus. And as you can tell by the music, we've come to the end of the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in again next week, same time, same radio station. And until then, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And know that in the anointed one, Jesus, and his anointing, you are blessed, empowered to prosper in every area of your life. The Lord be lifted up.